Let's read responsively. I'll read the first verse. If you would, please join me on verse number 2 here in Psalm chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
I do not study from my study Bible. I have a Scofield Reference Bible, the old 1901. It's got a lot of notes in it, but I don't study from that. But what I do is I will often let my eyes go from a verse to a cross-reference in the center column. And many of you have a Bible today that has a cross-reference right down the center page of your Bible. Or if you have a Thompson chain, you have it on either side. But the Scofield has it down the middle. I love preaching from a Scofield for a lot of reasons that I'll not go into. But I was looking at my sermon title today, Thou Art With Me, taken from verse number 4. And if you do have a Scofield or a reference Bible of some kind, you probably have a little note, a notation by verse number 6 or verse number 4. It takes you immediately over to Isaiah 43 and verse 2. And I was reading that this morning as I was letting my eyes glance from Psalm 23. And because thou art with me, listen to what it says in Isaiah 43 and verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. Neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The next line says, for I am the Lord thy God. He says, I will be with thee. What a marvelous statement in the Psalms. And it's not just for one individual, though David was an old man now, looking back over a life that was blessed of the Lord as the man after God's own heart. He's not a young man looking into his herd of sheep and blessing the Lord, though I believe he could have. He is now an old man looking back on that life that was blessed by God. And he said, the Lord is my shepherd. Didn't say was, didn't say shall be. He gave it present tense. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he lists a number of God's sweet blessings. But when he gets to verse 4, he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And then he says this phrase, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Of all the great truths in the Bible that there are, this is one of the most difficult to remember. Is it really? Yes. To remember that the Lord is with us, no matter what happens in our lives, that's when we often forget God. That's when we often don't think he's with us anymore. God, where are you? Don't you see what I'm going through? Don't you know my physical condition? Don't you know my mental state? Don't you know the trials that I have? Where are you? You see, that's one of the easiest ones to forget. But yet the Word of God says, thou art with me. Present tense. Did you see that? Thou art with me. Continual action. There is a man mentioned in the Bible whom the Lord was with, and it said, many, many times. Back in the book of Genesis chapter 39, perhaps some of you knew where I was going to go to begin with, but I want you to notice in Genesis 39, the Bible speaks of a man of whom it is said God was with more than any man in the Bible. Now, when I say that, I say it's said of him. It doesn't mean that God was any less with anyone else, but what it does mean is that it is said. It's sort of like John in the New Testament. He refers to himself in the Gospels as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He loved the rest of them too. But the only one that mentions that is John. Well, God was with many people in the Bible. It's obvious when you read the stories that are found in the Bible. But we find here Joseph, it is simply stated that the Lord was with him. Genesis 39, verses 2 and 3, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Now down to verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And verse 23 says, the keeper of the prison looked not on anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. These are amazing statements in the Bible. Amazing statements. The fact that the Lord was with him is special. And I want to be the kind of man of whom the Lord is with. Now, that's bad English, but it's my desire. I want to be the kind of a man that one of these days I'll die and I'll be in heaven. I hope somebody will be able to say in my absence from my flesh that the Lord was with Dan Parton and the Lord blessed him. I emphasize this, and I'm going to emphasize it to you. You see, Joseph never had to face anything in his life alone, by himself, but yet he was never alone. Joseph never had to face anything in his life alone, by himself. Yes, but he was never alone. Why? Because the Lord was with him. And how do we know that the Lord was with him? Many a sermon has been preached about the life of Joseph, and rightfully so. Very inspirational individual. Certainly a man who did not have a perfect set of circumstances in his life. But yet the Bible says that God prospered him, that God was with him. God blessed him in a special way. We see that in his house in Genesis 37. If you'll keep your Bible back in Genesis and maybe flip to other places that I give you, but you certainly want to understand this, and you can use your little pen that you carry in your pocket or your purse, and you can make a cross-reference out of this by simply putting some things down, like Psalm 23 and verse 4, and then put down Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 2, and maybe next to that put down Genesis 37 and 3, because we see that God was with Joseph in his own house. The Bible says, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Wow, what a great blessing that was. And it may seem as though it was not right, as we would count rightness. And I tend to agree that a parent should never love one child more than another child. Now, we can appreciate one child more than another child, but we don't love one child more than another. We have four. I love all of them equally. I appreciate differently everything that each one of them is involved with. And when his brothers saw Joseph was loved more than they were, they hated him, because that kind of a relationship with a parent causes hatred among brethren within that family, among the siblings. Genesis 37 and verse 4, the Bible says, and when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Moms and dads need to be careful when they raise children, because you got four kids, you got four personalities. You got four kinds of obedience and four kinds of disobedience. You got four ways of dealing with things, but you should love them all the same. That's the way it's supposed to be. However, this is the way that God protected Joseph when he was young, and I'm sure Jacob watched over him like you would watch over something very, very precious. And this was to Joseph's advantage. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. And God protected Joseph, even through circumstances that we would disapprove of. His brethren hated him. All kinds of things. But we see how God was with Joseph in his own house. We also see that God was with Joseph when he was in a pit. You know, they say life is the pits. I think this is the story that it came from. In Genesis 37 and verse 24, notice these words. And they, that's his brothers, who hated him, his brethren, his flesh and blood, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty except for Joseph, and there was no water in it. They dug a hole and threw him in it. They were going to get rid of him. And the original plan, by the way, was not to throw him in a hole. The original plan was to throw him in a hole and bury him. It was they wanted to kill their brother. And hatred can lead even to thoughts of murder, or even thoughts of suicide, or thoughts of anything else, or praying that God will be your henchman and go and kill somebody. It happens because of hatred. But the Lord was with Joseph in that pit, and I know he did not like that very much, but the Lord was with him. It was not a pleasant circumstance. It was not something that he would have wished in his life. Maybe while he was in that pit, he thought, well, maybe I've been kind of rough on my brethren. Or maybe I have taken the fact that I've got a coat of many colors from my father and none of them have it. And I'm the runt and I'm the one that they hate because of that. Maybe he thought through those things. And sometimes when we are on our backs, we begin to think of circumstances in our lives. But God had a plan that he was working, and there was not a man on the face of the earth that could stand in its way because God was with Joseph. You say, you mean his brethren hated him and God was with him? Uh-huh. You mean they threw him physically into a pit and wanted to kill him and God was with him? Yes. But then we go on in Joseph's life and we find all kinds of interesting things. The story is one that you should go back and read. And just go to Genesis chapter 37 and start reading, and you'll understand what I'm saying. But I want you to go now to Genesis chapter 39, because the Lord was still with Joseph. If you remember, he was sold into slavery, you see, to the Egyptians. He was sold into slavery. His brothers hated him. They killed an animal and put the blood all over the coat of many colors and showed it to their father, all fooling him. I mean, everything was so negative. But now he's here in a fellow's house by the name of Potiphar, and it says in 39, beginning in verse 1, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither, and the Lord was with Joseph. Now, wait a minute. Sold as a slave? Yep. And the Lord was with Joseph. Lord, where are you? I didn't sign up for this, God. Where are you? I would ask that question. Maybe you wouldn't, but I think I would. And it says, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And he served him and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had he put in into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in the house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house. Now, that's a precious thought. He blessed the Egyptian's house because of Joseph. And it says he blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. Even as a slave, and the word slave has terrible, not just denotations, but connotations about it. Nothing pleasant about being a slave in Egypt or anywhere. And so, but even as a slave in Egypt, the Lord was with Joseph and God blessed Potiphar. Why? Because Potiphar was a good man? No, he was a pagan. But he blessed his house because Joseph was there. And the Bible says in Genesis 39:5, look at it again. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. For Joseph's sake, Joseph made a difference in the house of pagan heathen individuals. And it's an interesting thought. I wrote this down and I asked myself this question because I don't know that it's really accurate for me. But this is, who is God blessing for your sake? Who is God choosing to bless because you are that kind of an influence for the Lord? Did Joseph try to be that? No, I don't think he did. He just did his job and God blessed him. God was with Joseph and God blessed that relationship that he had with the Lord. But we also see that he was with Joseph with Potiphar's wife. Now, Potiphar and his wife were two different people. They were two individuals, and again, they were pagan people. The only thing they knew about the God of Israel was what Joseph said to them in the house, I'm sure, or whatever it might be, or anything that they had read, or anything that they had heard through the grapevine, or whatever it might be. But in Genesis 39 and verse 12, it says about Potiphar's wife, and I have no respect for Potiphar's wife whatsoever. Her position gave her power, but it did not make her a better person. And she, that's Potiphar's wife, caught him, Joseph, by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. Most of us are aware of the story of Joseph and Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. There's no need for me to go in and tell the whole story again. But Potiphar's wife was an unfaithful, whorish woman. She was unfaithful to Potiphar. And here she saw fresh flesh in the palace. She got her eyes on Joseph. How was Joseph? Probably a good-looking man, hard-working man, blessed man, and a man who was becoming more and more powerful because God was with him and all that. And she apparently was attracted to that, and maybe she was even attracted to Potiphar for the same reasons, except it never changed her morality, you see. If there's ever a time when you want the Lord to be with you, it's in the presence of temptation. And that's exactly what it was here. This evil, wicked, whorish woman. This woman who was already the wife of a man who had apparently become unfaithful in her heart and then became unfaithful in her actions. You see, nobody becomes unfaithful by doing something. They become unfaithful by thinking something in their heart, for out of the heart proceed all the issues of life. You see, I learned a lesson a long time ago about people in church. If you leave in your heart, it won't be long before your body leaves. Why? Because out of the heart are the issues of life. So if a person begins to leave in their heart, they will eventually leave with their body, you see. Well, when a person becomes unfaithful and whorish in their thoughts, it eventually turns into action. The Bible doesn't mention anyone else that Potiphar's wife was involved with or chose to be involved with, but we do find that she wanted to be involved with Joseph, and she said, I want you to go to bed with me. I want you to be immoral with me. I want you and me to have that kind of a relationship. She grabbed him by the coat, and he did what Job did. He eschewed evil, and all she saw was elbows and heels as he ran away from that wicked, evil woman. When temptation of Potiphar's wife continued, he had enough presence of mind to let her see his elbows and heels. He took off running, and rightfully so. Say, well, wasn't he supposed to be there? I've heard preachers say, well, he shouldn't have been in that situation to begin with. Wait a minute, that was his job. He was doing his duty. He was accomplishing his job. He didn't ask for Potiphar's wife to tempt him. He didn't want that. He didn't ask for it. He probably didn't even know at the beginning that she was that kind of a wicked, evil woman who was unfaithful to her husband. But that was his job. So no, he shouldn't have been in that situation, but the situation he was in was not one he could walk away from, because that was his duty to perform. But when she came and gave him another duty to perform, he took off running just as hard as he could, and I'm thankful for that. So what happened to him? Well, he got put in prison, and the Lord was with him in prison, and I want you to see in verses 20 and 21 of Genesis 39. Verse 20, it says, and he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph. That way, it didn't say the Lord departed from him. Didn't say God didn't bless him anymore. Said the Lord was with him right there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Boy, if this is God's idea of mercy, then I don't know that I want anything to do with it. I get tempted. I get accused. I get thrown into prison. And God showed him mercy. Thanks for the mercy, God. But it says that God showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. I don't think he was very popular with Potiphar's wife, and I know he wasn't popular with Potiphar, because Potiphar's wife unduly accused him and said, this is what he did. Here's his coat. Put him in prison. And he did. He believed his wife. God's presence did, I want to say this, don't miss this. God's presence did not deliver him from the prison. Did you notice that? The first words, and he was there in the prison. God's grace did not deliver him. God's mercy did not keep him out of prison. God's mercy did not keep him from being put into a prison with a bunch of other prisoners and all the labor and things they had to do. But I read again Isaiah 43 and verse 2, when thou passest through the waters. Notice it does not say that you're not going to be through waters. When thou passest through the waters. Now we can add in an ellipses the word when on any part of this verse. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And when through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. When the flames, they'll not kindle upon thee. None of this says you won't go through those times. None of it. Nope, there's no promise in the Bible you won't have hard times. There's no promise in the Bible that you won't have a Potiphar's wife come along. There's no promise in the Bible that doesn't say that a Potiphar won't come along or a wicked brethren won't come along. There's no promises in the Bible about that. But he says, when that happens, I will be with thee, you see. That's the comfort that I have during hard and difficult days. Preacher, do you have hard and difficult days? Oh, yes. I'm just like you. I got feet of clay like you've got them. I'm not taking my boots off, but I'm here to tell you that I've got feet of clay just like you. The when is important. Not if, but when. And he was not in prison because he did wrongly, but because it was God's will for him to be there at that time, and that's why God was with him. Think about the Apostle Paul and Silas in prison, singing at midnight, making all the other prisoners, making them probably go to sleep in there, Paul. We're trying to sleep in here. And then the earthquake came and shook down the jail, and everybody could have been freed, but nobody left. And somebody got saved out of it. Probably if Paul and Silas had never gone to the jailhouse, the jailer would never have gotten saved, and neither would his family, and none of them would have ever gotten baptized. It's an amazing story. You see, the when is important. And you know, that's a sermon in itself that ought to just be named When. Not if, but when. And the Lord remembered Joseph while he was there in prison when everybody else had forgotten about him. He was there for a long time, and they forgot about him. But the Lord was with him. And he was there no less than 2 full years for a crime that he did not commit. You think that's unfair? Of course it was. None of us can say, oh, that was fair. He should have gone to prison. No, he shouldn't have. He was lied about, lied to. Cheated, a wicked woman lied about him. He's trying to save his own purity, and he got lied about, got thrown into prison because she told a lie on him. Not a fib, she told nothing but a lie on him. So when she said, lie with me, she told the lie about him. Amazing. Got to remember, God was working his divine will in all of this. Before we go any further, what's the circumstance in your life right now where God is working his divine will? In all of these situations we see in the life of Joseph, we understand that God was with him and God was working his divine will. What does the Bible say in Romans chapter 8, which there are certain religious groups that have destroyed that verse in its context? The Bible simply says that God's going to work things out when we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Those who are called according to his purpose. Why? Because he's working his will, you see. We understand this. But like I said at the beginning of this sermon, I'm going to read you the line that I've got written down. The Lord was with him, very much so. But this is a truth that we most often forget, is that God is with us as well, you see. I think we need to remember it. It will probably keep us from quitting. And so, he was not in prison because he did anything wrong. He was in prison because it was God's will for him to be there at that time. We also see it in Pharaoh's palace. Something interesting now, because as he goes on and God continued to prosper Joseph, we understand that, yeah, all these different steps that we've taken so far, we're talking about the pit and the slavery and the prison and the evil, wicked woman and all these other things that are there. We come now, we see it in Pharaoh's palace, verses 39 through 41 of chapter 41. And it says, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Pretty good for a fellow that just got out of prison, huh? Why? Because he interpreted a dream with God's help. He says, "And thou shalt be over my house, and according to thy word shall all my people be ruled." According to thy word? Yeah, according to thy word, all my people shall be ruled. "Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." Wow, from the pit to the leadership position. Amazing. And I think about how Pharaoh had dreams and the wise men came and couldn't interpret the dreams, because the Bible says in two places, very plainly, that it's only God that knows the heart. These call California lines and talk to a psychic and you can get 15 minutes free, and if it's not the best reading you've had, then you can have your money returned to you if you paid for it or whatever it might be. None of these folks ever win the lottery. I just don't understand that. I got news for you. These people can't read your mind, because God is the only one who knows the heart of a man. That's it. Now, you can guess, and the truth is you might be accurate, you might be right, maybe, perhaps. But God is the only one that knows your heart. And God is the only one, by the way, that knows my heart. And Pharaoh's men could not interpret the dream because they did not have the cunning and the wisdom and the discernment that Joseph had. And Joseph interpreted the dreams for him, whether it be good news or bad. It didn't matter. He got the answer that he had to hear. And so the Lord remembered Joseph while he was in prison, when everybody else had forgotten him. And interesting now, we find here that God was with Joseph in the kingdom. Look at verse number 44 of chapter 41. "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And because of this, the Lord reunited and cared for the needs of Joseph's family." Remember, his brothers hated him. And he called him in, and the story is a beautiful story, and I encourage you to go back and read it. I've already read a lot of scripture. I'm not going to take the time to read the entire story to you. But the way the Lord worked it was, God was working to restore this family. And when they came to Egypt, because they didn't have any food, because of famine in the land, because Joseph had properly interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, his brethren didn't even recognize him. And when they came in asking for help and for food, the Bible says that Joseph even excused himself from the room and he went alone for a while and he started to cry. Why did he cry? Because here are the brethren here's the father that thought he was dead, and here's the brethren that made the father think he was dead. And he excused himself. He said, "I'll be right back, man." He went and cried for a while. And he came back. And one of the most beautiful phrases in all the Word of God is found in Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. Because now God is fulfilling his perfect will in Joseph's life. It's interesting here. And chapter 50 and verse 20. A lot of sermons have been preached from this. I've even preached one from it, or two, over the years. So Joseph is talking to his brethren now, and he's talking to his family, and he revealed himself to them, and they were shocked that it was Joseph. And now he's explaining to them what God did. He said in verse 20, "But as for you, you thought evil against me." Can you imagine how convicting that must have been at that moment? I'm sure it was convicting to his family to see him standing there in full garb of the Egyptians. and having a place of great prominence in the kingdom and all the rest of it, and the most powerful man besides the Pharaoh himself. And when he revealed himself to them, how shocking that must have been. And then he said, but as for you, you thought evil against me. I love the phrase, but God. But God meant it unto good. Oh, wait a minute. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But God commendeth. Wages of sin is death, but God commended his love to us. But God meant it unto good to bring it to pass, and as it is this day, to save much people alive. God's plan was to save the lives of many people. God's plan was to reunite a family and change lives, and that's exactly what he did. Now, all that to bring us to what I want to bring us to. And that is simply some lessons that we can learn from this. I have written down five. Number one, if we choose to, we can look back and see that it was partly our upbringing that helped bring us to the place that we are. Why was I born in the family that I was born in? Why did I have the mother that I had? Why did I have the father that I had? Why was I born illegitimately? Why am I a product of fornication? Why was I raised poor? Why did not I have, my parents didn't have a good job? Why was there alcohol in my family? Why? If we will choose to, we can look back and see that it was partly our upbringing that helped to bring us to the place that we are. That's exactly what happened with Joseph. Number two, the Lord being with us does not guarantee that we will be kept from trials. You say, I didn't sign up for this. I just want to say, oh, yes, you did. You just didn't know it. You had no idea that was in the contract. You thought, oh, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. I've got God's book. I've got a home in heaven. Yeah, and all the rest of it was in the fine print. Maybe you didn't read the fine print. You say, I didn't sign up for it. I just want to say, yes, you did. Because the Lord being with us does not guarantee that we will be kept from trials. Number three, God's presence does not keep us from the presence of temptation of sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13, still in the Bible. Did you know that? There's not a bit in the Bible that's ever been taken out in God's precious word. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. But listen to this, 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You've been through it, so has everybody else. There's no trial you can go through that nobody else has not done. This is not new to you. Because it's new, everybody's gone through it. Now, it may be the only time you've ever been tempted that way, but he says here, everybody's had the same thing. We're all human. And it says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You see, his presence with you does not keep you from temptation and trials. It just simply does not. Number four, God's presence will prosper us, whether in the pit, whether in the prison, or whether in the palace. His presence with us is most important, yet we seem to judge whether or not the Lord is with us by the circumstances in our lives. Where are you, God? Why hast thou forsaken me? We get, you know, and I sit under the juniper tree and I feel like I'm the only living cell of somebody that's dead. I'm the only one all by myself and there's nobody else. Think about Elijah. Thou art with me in your trials and temptations and all of it. He's there. He is. He's there. And everybody in this room at one time or another has said, God, are you there? I don't think he scolds us for that. But I do think he understands why we feel that way sometimes. The Lord is with us. It means that he allows some circumstances to enter our lives while keeping other circumstances out of our lives. He will always go with us through all the circumstances of our lives, both good and bad. Remember what it said in Psalm 23 and verse 4 where we started? I said I wasn't going to preach out of Psalm 23, but I was going to use it as a springboard to go off into a subject. And notice what it says in verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Say, well, you're not preaching a whole lot today, but I'm hoping we're catching what the Bible says today. You see, nowhere in Scripture are we promised that we will not enter into the valley of the shadow of death. There's nowhere in the Word of God that says that. But we can know that the Lord is with us in that valley. Songs have been written, God of the mountain, and He's God of the valley too. Both. Absolutely. Oh, yeah, the mountaintop experiences. Yep, He's there. He's also with us in the valley. You better believe it. Where did David fight Goliath? In a valley. And David came out on top. Little old teeny tiny red-faced David. A rock and a sling and a dead giant. Amazing story. But the Lord was with him in the valley. You see, now Joseph lived right. Was he a perfect and sinless man? No, of course not. No one is. Only Jesus walked this earth sinless. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he did live right. And if we want the Lord to be with us as he was with Joseph, perhaps we ought to live godly lives like he lived a godly life. When you think about it, did Joseph ever complain? Don't know. The Bible doesn't say. The Bible doesn't say that Joseph sat down and put his face in his hands and did his fingers on a rock or a table, trying to know, where is God in all this? Yeah. The Bible doesn't tell us he did that. I mean, not really. But I'm just assuming his humanity made him do that. Because he's flesh just like we. No temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God, with that temptation, will make a way to escape, he says. Why? Because God is with us. And the Lord was with Joseph, and the Lord, by the way, is with you too. No matter what your circumstance today, no matter what your trial today, no matter what your temptation today, no matter what your need is today, the Lord is with you, even in your need. Understand that, please. And the only truth that I wanted to get across today, though I went a long way around, starting in Psalms and going back to Genesis and then getting into the book of Isaiah and coming back around to Psalms again, all I'm simply saying is this. I want us to understand that God is with us. The songwriter said it this way many years ago. He said, the Lord didn't bring us this far to leave us. And He didn't bring us up to let us down. And He didn't build a home in us just to go away. He's with us. He honestly is. And I have to be honest and say I'm not a real emotional guy sometimes, but this truth put chills up and down my back even as I'm speaking to you today. That God is with us. And He promised so. And you find it throughout the Word of God. I will be with thee.